In the name of Jesus, the great high priest. Amen. This is not exactly the shortest text which I've ever been assigned here in chapel services. In the parish ministry, I always tried to follow the rule that the reading of the text should not take longer than the preaching on the text. Each of these 26 verses in this chapter is worth a sermon all by itself. Now, what am I supposed to do in just 10 minutes with this chapter? The chapter is, after all, so rich in theology. It was David Kitraeus who first called this prayer the high priestly prayer, because it portrays Christ both as the priest and as the sacrifice that the priest offers. There is a strong connection here with the ascension, because there is such a strong accent in it on the ultimate exaltation of Christ. There's a strong connection in this prayer with the Lord's Prayer, because the whole prayer is a virtual commentary on the Lord's Prayer. This prayer has also been called a prayer of consecration, because in one of the final acts of a 2.5-year preparatory ministry, Jesus devotes himself to his suffering and death. This chapter is strong on the pivotal part that would be played by the Word of God in the church. It is a chapter that is strong on the oneness in the Christian church, not a forced camaraderie that comes through the tortured actions of men, but rather a oneness that comes simply from receiving together the gifts of life and salvation from our Savior's loving hand. It is a chapter which is strong on sacrifice, because here Jesus prays that the disciples' joy may be filled, and all the while he knows full well that he will be facing the music within a matter of hours. It is a chapter that is strong on showing the heart and mind of Jesus. It shows the love and compassion which would drive Jesus to the cross. Now, with all these things in this chapter, which theme could I choose? As the school year draws to a close, I am reminded how in each and every year, my department is responsible for sending 2/3 of the campus student body away. Some would want me to send them all away, but that's the best that I can do. Each and every year, 2/3 of our students are sent away, either into the holy ministry or into hands-on experience with the holy ministry. And with this in mind, I observe in this text one simple fact, that Jesus, the chief shepherd of all under shepherds, prayed for his people. Jesus prayed for them, not this time going off into the hills to be by himself, but praying in their presence. Not silently, but out loud, so that the disciples can hear what he's praying for along with his Father who is in heaven. And Jesus prayed by himself while the disciples listened. It wasn't one of these modern communal prayers where Jesus would say a few sentences and then squeeze the hand of the person to his left. If I had been in such a circle of prayer with Jesus himself and it came my turn, I probably would have stared blankly, uttered a few sighs too deep for words, and broken the hand of the person next to me. Jesus prayed for his people, and immediately with that comes the suggestion that pastors, as under-shepherds, should pray too. I often remember many years ago in the parish ministry, a little girl named Eva, about 6 years old. Eva and her mother were riding along with me in my car, and Eva was being naughty. Eva's mother handled the situation by saying, "Eva, you be good now, or Pastor won't pray for you." I died 1,000 deaths, of course, and Eva felt very badly, but she didn't feel nearly as badly as I did, because I realized that I myself had not been praying enough for the members of my congregation. I also remember an old pastor who on each and every weekend would take a full stack of bulletins for that Sunday morning and would write at the top of each bulletin the individual names of all the members of the congregation. And as he wrote down their names, he would say a prayer for each one of those names as he was going along, so that he could say at the end of his ministry that each and every week he prayed for every single member of his congregation. Now, when you hear that pastors should pray because Jesus, the chief shepherd, prayed, you might find yourself saying, "Oh no, here we go again. It's that WWJD thing again, isn't it? What would Jesus do?" No, I'm not talking about some kind of a mystical or charismatic psyching out of Jesus. Let's put it this way. We do have in the scriptures four detailed accounts of Jesus' activity. We have a lot of material to work with. We see Jesus' reactions and actions to a whole host of situations. And as we immerse ourselves in this biblical material, and as the Holy Spirit works in His Word, can we get some ideas for the conduct of our ministry? Duh. Thus, there's no need to speculate WWJD. All we have to ask is WDJD. What did Jesus do? And we have plenty of material to work with. You see, the ministry is not some kind of a mindless profession. We use our heads. We think. We study. We ponder. We plan. And on top of that, the Apostle Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves which you have in Christ Jesus." And in another place, he simply states, "You have the mind of Christ." On any given day in your ministry, what should you be doing? Through the Word of God and prayer, figure it out. Figure it out. I'm reminded of a conversation that actually happened between a pastor and a layperson. The pastor started the conversation by saying, and quite correctly so, "I am Christ in this congregation." The layperson answered, then act like it. The pastor went into a panic and said, I can't do like Jesus did. The point I'd make from that conversation is that both the pastor and the layperson had figured it out. Both of them, as this prayer said, knew Christ, not just knew about him. Both of them, in their own way, had an idea about what a pastor might be doing on the basis of the scriptures. The only thing I might have added to this conversation would be the simple words to the pastor, go ahead. Give it a shot. Forgiveness is for pastors too, and the Lord will be there to pick you up if you should happen to stumble. But if I may bring up just one last radio station, how about WIJD? What is Jesus doing? That's what the ministry really is. The scriptures record how Jesus had compassion on the crowds, and as a direct result of that compassion, he said the prayer for laborers to go out into the harvest. In this prayer, Jesus sends out his apostles. What is Jesus doing? The holy ministry. In the book of Acts, Luke starts out saying how in his gospel they saw how Jesus began to do and teach in his church. But then he says how the book of Acts is a story of how Jesus continues to do and teach through the apostolic ministry. The ministry is the doing of Christ. The ministry is an expression of Christ's compassion. The ministry is living proof of Jesus' ongoing care and concern for his church. And so, armed with the biblical stuff of Christ, a pastor loves his people with his whole life, even on his day off. He walks with them, he eats with them, he talks with them, he rejoices with them, he suffers with them, he lives with them, he dies with them. And all the while, he is giving to them the gifts of Jesus Christ, which make them all truly one. And all the while, flowing from that gospel heart, which is behind it all and drives his ministry, he prays for his people. He prays for them as Christ himself still intercedes for us all with his wounds before his Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.